Doubles, won't
there
it?
There you go, that's the name of the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Flyers Doubles.
Okay, hi, I'm Paul. Yeah, like, and that was Barry. Yeah, like, and we are on the road from Chelmsford to Saffron Walden, where the doubles event is going off, and we'll get there in about 20 minutes, and it's the 30th of April, a Saturday.
Saturday, early still.
Early morning.
Before 8 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's early for, I think, why is it so early?
We have to get three games in. Yeah. Oh. We want to go up there?
No. Yes. Oh, we've got completely the wrong way. I've got to turn around. Oh, we're going up the M11 now. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my driving skills. Can't even follow the sun now. We're going to be there a little bit later now.
Okay, the sat nav is now telling us not too much.
Like, turn around. Fantastic. Anyway, so we're going on the M11. Good, yeah. Good.
Right.
What are we playing?
So, we've got a doubles, yeah, so doubles team. I'm using Dogs of War, which I've got painted, which I've had 3 days off shift, and I really cranked the painting out, and it's done. I mean, as I say, like, I could do better, but it is all finished. It's all finished to a level, the same level. Like, I've not done one unit, like, barely any touch or whatever. It's so, at some point, I'd go back and touch them up, I suppose, but, you know, highlight them a bit more. But it's, you know, I have a painted army.
Good for you.
Yes.
I have a painted army. It's not high elves.
No.
Because Rick didn't manage to get it done.
Because you blame it on somebody else.
I did. I left it too late to ask him, to be fair. I only gave him a couple of weeks.
There you go.
And he had other stuff to do.
Yeah.
So I'm using my Lizardmen, which Rick painted as well. But it's fully painted. And yeah, we'll talk about this a little bit. So you tell them what you're going to use, I'll tell them what I'm going to use.
So I'm going to say Dogs of War. I've got the. So they're using. It's 1,500 point list, and they're using the restrictions rounded down. So basically, say you had a choice of two minimum, it would be three at 1,500. Or, but if you had a choice of max one, it would still be one because it's not doubled, it's rounded down. So I've got the mandatory pikemen and crossbowmen. I've got a unit of dwarves, a unit of ogres, two units of knights, a unit of light cav, some galloper guns, some birdmen, and a collection of characters, one on a death chicken. Yeah, like Barry.
What have Griffin. You got? Any magic shenanigans?
Oh yeah, I mean I've got
Dispel Scroll.
No,
Ring of Magic.
I've gone for Ring of Magic because the Dogs of War uses an Empire list of spells. It's got a movement spell, and the way the doubles would be is you can knock out, you know, the one half of the opposing team because they basically act as separate armies. So that is our tactic, is to go after one opponent each round to knock him out first. And
I'm sure that'll be a common tactic.
Well, yeah, I think if you think about it, that's the only tactic. But yeah, that's what we're going to try and do as team. And
well, we are going to do differently, hopefully, is we're going to try and cunningly deploy second and then intermingle.
Yeah, so we are, you know, if we set up our armies together, like intersperse the brigades, theoretically we'll be harder to break piecemeal because we'll be having to attack both of us at the same time.
And the people are naturally lazy.
Yeah.
So even when we did that practice game, we were lazy.
Yeah, we were lazy. I'll go left, you go right.
Yeah, and then you just set up.
It's basically two singles games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, hopefully.
No, we're not going to do that, because the only I thing going into this event is I do really hope that all our games finish. Is that so? We record, basically we tend to record a bit after each game, don't we? That's our plan.
So three games, yeah. Three recordings after,
yeah,
this, and then one on the way up.
And I really hope that all our games, you know, like win or lose, we finish the game in the time, because me and Barry, we're not slow players, but there is no clock system in this, it's just overall time. So I really hope we just don't get people who just take forever to push their little half of the models.
So my list, I had two choices. I made two lists. One was with a Stegodon, which is like the, it's more than the elephant in the room.
I'd have gone for the Stegodon.
Oh, we're going for the Stegodon.
Hey!
It's like, yeah, it should be able to dominate such a small game, because there's not that many cannons kicking around, hopefully.
Yep.
Half as much. So it was either a Stegodon or two Croxigore. Now, Croxigore are good. Mm-hmm. Could have maybe gone for Croxigore, but Paul wanted the Stegodon. So we're going Stegodon. So we've got four Skinks, six Saurus, one Pterodon.
That's one more Skinks than you needed to take.
Yeah, but it's, it helps. Four Skinks, six Saurus, one Pterodon, two Cold War Knights, Stegodon, and then a collection of characters. I went really minimum on the characters, so only little two Skinks to do all the ordering.
Uh-oh. SpaghettiOs.
Especially if we're intermingling. Yeah, I've only got 20 centimetre command.
Uh-oh.
Now we've got one wizard, and obviously the big frog's a wizard, and, and we took the ring of magic. So hopefully we're both allowed to ring of magic.
Yeah, I mean, we are separate armies, so...
Because I too have a spell that allows me to put my wizard...
You got Wings of the Jungle.
Yeah, but it does cost me the wizard generally, but I figure if I get the Stegodon in the flank and use the ring, that's going to sting.
The ring. The thing is this... this doubles event will be like, is in, it should be quick, like sharp games in a sense, because if we expose one player and once we break them out, then it will be a lot easier to take on the next one. That's
unless that player's Janus.
Unless that player's Janus, and he'll just beat both of us easily.
with ogres.
Like, that's okay because Janus is running the event. He can't possibly beat us. And we go round to the right on this round.
That Janus. Right. So we played some games this week.
Definitely. Shall I start?
Yeah, if you like. You describe your massacre, and I'll describe mine.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously my priority is to get the army painted, but I did fit in a practice 1500 point game. Just my half of the doubles against Phil Hughes and his Bretonians, and he stomped steamrolled me. You know, like, goddamn, Bretonians are good. You know, like,
this is tournament-less Bretonians.
Yeah, tournament-less Bretonians. And I did allow him, like, I allowed him to take a unit of two units of Pegasus Knights when he should have had one, because, you know, he's not playing in the doubles, so it's like, that's what he wanted to use. And I was like, it doesn't really matter to me. You know, like, and
they're very good.
Well, yeah, they are good, but, like,
Pegasus Knights.
He crushed me, basically. and it was, I mean, I gotta say, Bretonians are just a good army. Like, you know, if you only expose half the potential knights, it's just a win-win.
Well, the terrain is your friend.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see the matchup of... are we going up the M11, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I would love to see the matchup of Wood Elves versus Bretonians. That would be hilarious for the Wood Elves. But
it would be miserable.
It would be, well, it would be an interesting rock, paper, scissors moment. Yeah, but, it's a very good army.
Well, it's rerouted none on the LM11. I don't know what it's doing. I hate this sat-nav. Garmin sat-navs. Don't buy Garmin. This thing's bonkers.
Well, do you know where you're going?
Well, they're supposed to know where I'm going.
Well, okay.
It doesn't matter. It talks about using the M11 and sends me down a slip. Anyway, so carry on to... Was that it? That was your
well,
story.
I mean,
it just destroyed you, yeah?
I mean, not like as simply as that, but he did run over me in 3-4 turns.
So you didn't use terrain at all?
I tried to, but I mean, I got to say, Phil did had some interesting setup because he put his two units of Pegasus Knights right out on the flanks, like on their first moves, and it present all sorts of problems of angles to me because I couldn't risk a flank getting flanked by them, and then. So I mean, I had to think about my unit's position a lot, well, which way can they face? And it really, yeah, that was a real issue because I didn't have something to go out and get those Pegasus Knights because you can't ask Birdmen to beat Pegasus Knights. It's just not going to happen.
No, not in this lifetime.
Yeah, not in this lifetime. Anyway, and because he had a trebuchet and he was just debating, like, should I take trebuchets in Bretonian lists? And I was like, definitely you should because it sets up angles that I can either get flanked by your flyers or just get hit hard by the trebs. It's like,
so
I can't do both.
Was he commanding the flyers? Did he just dedicate a wizard to
them? He just sends... I mean, he's, you know, that sets them up for, like, the next turns. They're like, he's not asking too much of them. Right, Barry, concentrate where you're going.
I'm doing it. So yeah, but what I'm saying is, so unless he's homing them back off the flanks, how's he commanding them on the flanks? Because they've only got 20 seconds.
Well, yeah, he'll have to, like, pull out a character out to... control them if he's going to then decide. Basically, he doesn't, because the characters move second, he has the luxury of seeing where he gets all the orders off to decide about what he's going to do with the character. So sometimes you might put them out in the flank and like, no, I'm not going to end up bringing them in this next turn, and he doesn't need a character out there to control them because they just home back again.
They just home back. You're right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good, you know, Bretonians have a very decent unit of flyers there. Yeah, like, and they can have.
They're the best in the game.
I think it is, isn't it?
And, I mean, they've got a charge, which is a negative, but they're 5-up save.
Yeah, and they got two. Yeah, they come in with 4 dice. Yeah, you know, so monsters. So, yeah, top dollar. When we get our Bretonians, we'll be like doing this tactic as well.
Polar Fox Pegasus Knights
to be like out of the flanks. Like, what are you gonna do about it? Like,
sob.
You know, I outdistance you a long way. Like,
I've seen some rule sets where they curtail them to 50 centimetres.
No, that's not right. Yeah.
It's not right, really, is it?
No, why have them then? Yeah.
Well, there is no reason to have them.
Yeah.
They can't do what flies can do.
Yeah. So that was all the game I played. Sorry.
So I played the game on Wednesday against Nick. Nick's our Tomb Kings player. I was trying to get a win with Orcs, because I'm not going to give up on them until I get a win.
Oh, right. You changed the tune then.
No, no, I'm not saying I'm playing them again anytime soon.
Right.
But I will keep going back to them like a moth to the flame until I get a win. And we're going to have a bet, myself and Paul, about the first person to get a win, a proper win.
Well, we said define it as a competitive win.
With Orcs.
So, like, that's not playing a new player, and that's not playing some stupid, like, not playing against Orcs. It's like with Orcs. It's like to get a win with Orcs over a decent opponent and a decent army, a fair army. The loser will pay for the winner's night out.
It went relatively well up until a point in that in four turns I issued three orders, so that was good because I didn't do anything. I stayed on the hill, I stayed in the...
You weren't tempted to move.
So I played them really defensively, and Nick normally plays his Tomb Kings relatively defensively, but he had no choice but to come to me.
But you, because you had the range on him with your artillery. Like, why did he have to attack you?
Because he wanted a result that evening.
Oh, okay.
And I wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I can't. I want to attack you, but I can't.
The Orcs really want to fight, but we can't have one because unless we fight ourselves. The Geroths were working relatively well. I kept pushing his pair of skull chuckers around, so they were never together. Mm-hmm. And they always having to come forward, and they were out of range. So that was good. But after four turns, literally, I hadn't moved. So... he came to me, and then there was a bit of a trade-off. It was 6-6, but then I just got slaughtered. It was like, he was all over me. They were everywhere. He'd taken every piece of defending. Because what he does, he's very cunning, Nick. He moves from, like, a hill to a forest, to a hill, to a forest, to a hill. So his brigades are always, like, defended.
Yeah.
And then he got to the stage where he was in my deployment zone, in all my defending positions. And it's like, shit. And now my orcs have got enemy near. They can't even order when there's no enemy near. Now enemy
now
near.
Now it's even harder.
All my stuff's dinged up. It's like, oh, this is miserable. So it was. We'd already played for like 3 hours, so we just called it.
Yeah.
And I gave Nick the game. And to be fair, he was going to smash me.
Yeah.
Even though it was 6-6, and it was my turn.
Yeah.
The likelihood is I was going to do nothing.
Yeah.
And then he was going to smash
Carry on smashing you, yeah. Trishing you out.
Yeah.
Because his breakpoint must have been higher than yours.
Yeah, I mean, even things like the four... I took his four skeleton warriors, skeleton cavalry out, but it cost me my four units of boar boys.
Yeah, that's not a good trade.
No.
Yeah.
No, because what would happen is I'd beat them up and I'd get dinged, so I'd like be two stands left, and then he'd send in his carrion with his terrifying character and just eat the units.
Yeah.
With the raised dead in the back.
Yeah.
And he's like,
How many fresh units did he get? Like raised dead spells.
I think he only got one because I dispel scroll.
That time you played it when he got it every time.
Oh shit! I think four out of four or something. Oh
yeah,
my god, it's
like,
miserable.
That's not good. That's not a good look.
Because that was the other thing he was doing. So then, he's in my defended, and the only thing he's putting out for me to initiative charge is the unit of crap that he's just raised.
Yeah.
And then even if it
means nothing,
and then you're in the open for him to smash you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've broken up your brigade to initiative charge. You can't initiative charge with everything.
Yeah. I mean, I did have, speaking about like that style of rate expendable units, because in my game against Phil's Bretonians, it's quite a joke that my cannon crews are probably going to like committing war crimes here, because all they could shoot at was peasants, and they're happily shelling peasants because that's fun. But like, it doesn't achieve anything, does it? Killing civilians like this, and it's just like, yeah, I'll see you in Nuremberg later. Like,
well, not those, because they don't even get driven back, do they?
They might not, because they were all touching the grail. Yeah, like, yeah, you're right, they might, I don't know, but we played it that they were, but
it wouldn't have mattered.
Wouldn't have mattered. Ah!
that little brigade for 150 points is just superb.
Yeah, when this is Bretonian peasants, you set them up column line, so they're all touching the grail,
which is in the middle column,
which is in the middle column, and it's like, there you go, everybody's got it. Like,
everybody's got it.
But you could equally put the grail on the line behind. It would touch all three in the columns. You could do it that way. Doesn't have to be in the middle.
Oh yeah, that'd be interesting if you put the grail at the back.
At the back,
three columns.
Yeah,
do that.
Yeah, but then the grail. Oh, I don't know. Like, well, anyway,
they're not getting pushed around.
They're not getting pushed around. They like because they think that dead knight's important. They're nutters.
I love the grail. I love, that grail.
Grail reliquary. Yeah, and he's done a lovely cross That's what they're holding.
True cross?
Yeah, the true. A knight, and I'll be bearing the true cross. It's like, it's lovely. I mean, when I
cannot be defeated in open battle.
When I get my Bretonians, I'm definitely going to paint them as Templars. Yeah, and I go, there we go. That's what I have.
This seems rude not to.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, I'll tell you one we need to mention.
Oh, go on.
We need to mention KR.
Yes, we. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, we I've are got my bag. Yes,
and I have mine.
So, today,
and we could have put them in both one bag.
We could have. But I've got two armies in my bag.
Yeah.
I've got High Elves and, well, most of the High Elves.
Just to, like, show off your product.
And the Lizardmen. And, so if my bag gets stolen, I'll lose two armies rather than one.
This is Saffron Walden, mate. Like, crimes for the minorities that don't live here.
Sir Alan Hazelhurst. Yeah. Made a services to himself.
Yeah.
And we got our War Master podcast t-shirt.
We are on mission, on message. We are, like, we're going to be fist bumping everything, like, well, the Murray brothers.
I see.
Yeah, we're going to.
If the opponents take offence to the fist bumping, I may have to curtail them.
Fair enough. But, like, if it's annoying somebody, but I think it's quite funny.
It annoys me when I see the Murrays do it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can do it. Bit of psychological warfare. Yeah, fist bump. Yeah, like, and anyway, we got our t-shirts on, we got our cases, we are rolling, like, onto message here.
Okay.
We're
thank you, what's your name? KR Multicase, thank you, KR.
Yep, Kaiser Rush
for your sponsorship.
Yes, very good, very good. And we will be touting your products today.
Okay, so what else are we going to talk about?
Well, it's facts about the tournament. There's six teams, so that's 12 players. We're tipped to be in the top three, but that's only out of six. So that's and one of them's a put together team last minute. So not that impressive, actually. But like,
we're mid table. I'll be happy with not wooden spooning.
Yes, we don't have to win, but we don't want to come last. It's very British to be bad at what you are, like, invent. That's a very English thing to do. Like, look at cricket. Yeah, like, so we will see how we actually do.
Right, so we'll talk to you again in a little
while. Yeah, we'll record again after game one. Okay, so we're recording, and so we're sitting in the back of the King's Arms pub, having a drink with our opponents after the first round.
Jeff and Mark.
Jeff
from
and Mark.
Team Desert Dogs.
Team Desert Dogs. It was an Araby and Dogs of War combo. And,
which was good, unlike our combo.
The game resulted in a draw. It didn't go. It played four turns complete. We should have played a lot more, we didn't run out of time, which is a real shame because I was really enjoying it.
Okay, so the score was, I think we got 590 victory points, and the Desert Dogs got 420, which was a difference of 170, which is a draw.
Which the 250 bracket is the...
Yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't lose, but we didn't exactly win either.
No. So we didn't actually do very much in four turns, to be fair.
No.
Paul charged... Yeah. Paul, the only thing Paul did until the last
I was. I was the weak link.
He was. He charged with the Birdmen, on a unit of Birdmen, and died.
Yeah.
That was it. That was it until the very last moment of the game when he did some work.
The thing is like, every turn I was trying to bring my stuff forward, but I kept failing all the dice, so... what can you do? We didn't in this case, but it would have been a very interesting game to continue. But you've got to play in the round time, and that was that. But the spirit of the game was fantastic.
It was. Well done, Jeff and Mark.
They were gentlemen.
And turn one, he put a little Araby spell, little fake unit, just over 20 centimetres away, and that was a nightmare. So that made... anything after the first order, you were on a 7 with my Divine Guides, and it was just a nightmare.
And actually, their pairing of armies was much better than ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
So
you
planned that.
You did. That was Mark. Well done.
Yeah. Well, that's it. So we will record again after.
Oh, yeah, so little highlights.
Oh, okay. Well, the highlights.
My Stegodon charged in the back, in the rear. Initially charged the rear of two knights and bounced, and then got pursued by the two knights, but then managed to fight his way through and take out both knights. But he was injured. Then a giant charged it. Not giant. A Tusker charged into the Stegodon, and they had a bit of a tussle. Yeah. And then broke on a draw, and then my Stegodon went in at the end and died. Yeah. And that Stegodon dying at the end was the difference between us winning and it being a draw.
I suppose so.
Because
it
was 250 points he gave.
Yeah, it would have been
right
a swing.
End.
Yeah,
and that was the only thing I lost.
Right.
And Paul lost
some Gallop guns and some
Birdmen.
Yeah.
So it was a good game. It was a good game. Shame it ended in a draw. If it had a bit longer, I'm sure it wouldn't have been a draw. And
but the thing is, the game. None of us are particularly slow players. It's just that we couldn't achieve anything. we tried to achieve something and couldn't.
So, well done, Jeff and Mark, and good luck in your next two games.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is the results of the second game. We ended up with a four-nil win.
Four-nil win.
Basically, we managed to break one of our opponents. And
who were the opponents? Jim.
They were Jim and Andy. Andy had a Beastman army with a massive break point.
That was 11.
How did he get? Yeah,
11. Yeah. 1,500 points. 11.
Yeah, 11.
And he had two wizards. He had lots of magic items.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, his army must have been total chaff, apart from one unit of Bestigals.
It seemed to be Bestigals where he needed them, but anyway, and also Jim, who had Orcs and Goblins, and he had managed to get six units of Ball Riders into their units,
and two units of Black Orcs
as well,
and three Goblins and three Orcs.
Yeah.
It was meaty.
But we clumped together, we intermingled our brigades, and because of the Beastmen, you gave far too much respect to the Beastmen ambushing.
Yeah, but when I asked him what it did,
yeah,
he was really cagey. It wouldn't show me his list.
Yeah, yeah,
and he
yeah.
said, oh, I've been on two brigades. In my mind,
yeah.
I was thinking like eight units
yeah.
were coming on.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
And it was like, in the end, it was like a unit of dogs and a unit of, like, herd or whatever, beast herd.
And the command rolls he needed were extremely low.
I paid way too much respect to that. But
that's experience.
He played very cagey. He wouldn't commit anything.
Yeah.
He wouldn't show me his list.
Yeah. Exactly. I was like, okay, fair enough. Okay. So we set up, it clumped in the middle. And the first turn, only I managed an order. So it's like...
That's normal.
Yeah, it's like, well, where's the Lizardman then? But,
we're doing the work, is what we do.
Yeah, exactly. But it went... But tied down really well. Jim tried to flank us with some ball boys in two waves. The royal we and I sent my knights on a glorious hunt the goblins like quest.
So embarrassing. Your two units of knights killed two stands.
No, one never fought.
And the other one killed two stands of dogs.
Basically there was a we chose the table side. There was a river.
Oh, we didn't choose the table side.
We did. We rolled off to choose the table side. No, I won that wrong. And
there was a roll for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you notice?
Did Jim just making up rolls as he goes along?
There's a roll now. Yeah,
right. I don't know what that is about. Anyway, and we decided that it was best to take the side that has the whole baseline away from the river, and basically to cross the river you had to be up against it and then order across the river. Fair enough, nice, you know, bit of interactive scenery.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, my cavalry just never passed that order to go across the river. My knights
glorious.
Never did.
Well, meanwhile, my two units of cold ones had to take on three units of boar boys plus a Wyvern hero.
Yeah.
So we managed to, with two rings of magic plus a spell,
yeah,
against two dispel scrolls, we managed to get one of my units into his boar boys.
Yeah.
And I...
Yeah, we forced three spells in that turn.
Yeah. And we got it in. I hit him with 15 dice. Oh, no, because one of them was 14 dice.
Yeah.
And I did 11 wounds, and he saved 10.
Yeah.
And then coming back, he did 19 wounds. 19 hits on that unit,
which then
evaporated.
Yeah, definitely. It was. So but then the next turn,
I put in my Stegodon.
Yeah.
And another unit.
Yeah, he charged you, though.
He didn't. Yeah, yeah. He charged my unit and bounced.
Yeah.
And that left me my dinged up unit initiative charge and my Stegodon initiative charge, and then we ate them finally. It took a long time. And then we there was a bit of shenanigans in the middle. We were quite intermingling quite well in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, my infantry kind of overperformed, I think, because it got in amongst defended hedges, and it, you know, like crosswomen were defeating charges, that kind of stuff. It performed very well, actually. I was because I didn't my spearmen, like especially my pikemen. He over, you know, after he'd caught my guns and overran into my pikemen,
the Black Orcs,
they completely wiped them out. The pikemen
on the charge,
it was
good.
Brilliant. Yeah, like
they did 11 wounds on that charge.
Yeah, they did it, and that's what they needed. He didn't make a save, so it's what was interesting about the game was that let's work on Jim, and
cause, which was hard.
Well, to be honest,
because all he exposed was boar boys.
Yeah, yeah, and
Black Orcs.
That's why I wanted to go after the goblins. You know, like, but he's played it very well.
The goblins
were, and they're like, Andy, we weren't going to break that many beastmen. We weren't going to catch that many beastmen units.
No, he didn't commit them.
No,
there wasn't enough committed to take 11.
And there wasn't even the stuff with the ambushes. Like, is there he got enough stuff on the table for us to even get?
Well, not that was committed. It was all on his baseline, the other stuff.
Or in
forests on his side. Then he bought his own forest, and then...
Yeah. Anyway, I saw that Jim was two away from breaking, and we were going to play one more turn when the alarm went.
So we're like, I had one surrounded with Saurus.
One easy win, and I was like, we had to commit... Your good flyers, your pterodons, backed up by my Griffin into the flank of some Black Orcs on a hill, and it came down to one wound.
And he
hit him two attacks back, and he missed them both.
And that was it.
Yeah, that was it. It allowed us to roll on and win.
Because they were no longer defended. Yeah. We got pursuit bonuses.
Yeah, it just swung massively to us. So we managed to break Jim, and that resulted in obviously a 4-point win to us out of five. 4 out of 5.
So we got 1 point in the first one. We would have had more if my Stegodon hadn't died.
We'd have had two.
And so we got 5 points. So we may even be in contention.
If we get a good win off the next result, we're definitely placing. We might even win the event.
But the next one's done Swiss, so we'll be playing somebody with 5 points or more.
We're going to have to swing for the fences in the next one. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to roll some command.
But we're not going to come last.
That's true.
Can't come last. Yeah. So, and we might place.
Okay. Excellent. So we'll see you again after round three.
Yep.
Okay, so this is the segment after game three, which is really recorded on the car on the way home. So we've actually been out for curry with Janna's, but this segment should go before that, so we'll just pretend.
So by the magic of production...
You can hold this while I'm driving.
Yeah, like, we'll have this set in number three.
Okay, so this is talking about the game three?
Yes, it is.
Game three was against the Quick and the Dead.
Was against the Quick and the Dead, which was a team made up of Steve and Ian...
Ian, yeah.
Yes, that's right. It was Dark Elves and
Tomb Kings.
And we pulled off a win. We got a 2-0 win. No, 3-0. Wasn't it 3-0?
3-0.
Yeah, 3-0. Because we did a lot of damage. But it was tight. It was really close.
855 or 885, and they did 500.
Yeah, but I was within one unit of breaking.
So how much of that 500 points were Dogs of War?
It was
500 points. And how many lizardmen? Not a single lizardmen.
Oh, you won't let me forget this. Right, okay. Anyway.
Also, my favourite bit of the whole tournament, I've got to say, Paul had two units of knights, and they're like fancy knights. What are they?
Knights Panther and Knights the White Wolf. They look very nice.
So these two
very
units
colourful.
of knights in three games.
Yeah.
Claimed 60 points worth of enemies.
But they didn't die.
Like, 60 points.
You're forgetting. You're like, they did not give their points away.
That's true. And my Stegodon was like this big bully.
Yeah.
He only died once, and that cost us a win. Yeah. And he was a monster. He is a monster, but he really overperformed.
But he was 250 points he gave away in one game.
Yeah, that cost us the win. It did.
Yeah. So my knights kept alive.
Yeah, but that Stegodon, he did work. So it's quite a difficult game to talk about because there was a lot went on in that final.
There was
game.
A lot of moving pieces, and to our credit, like these two we were playing were tipped to be like the winners, like you know, in the
so
final.
So first place, second in the final game. So top table kind of affair.
And they were very good. Like they I have to say they analysed the situation. They saw how they needed to win, and they went for it in the last turn. And it was only by luck of the dice that, you know, like, they didn't do it. Like, it was...
And Paul's talking about luck of the dice. This is how the luck of the dice went in that game.
Yeah.
He got charged by a unit of Cold One Knights in the flank of his guns.
It was an advance after a combat, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you managed to hit with three and take us...
I stand and shoot with Grape Shot, got three hits in, shot away a Cold One Knight. He failed all his saves because Grape Shot doesn't ignore armour. And in the ensuing combat, he only did three hits. And it was a draw, and my cannons lived. It was like, it shouldn't happen. Like, it really... Statistically, it should not happen.
And then they got swallowed up, those cold ones.
Yeah, but that's... I mean, as I say, I was one away...
That was the one.
Yeah, if I had been broken, they would have gotten points. It would have gone to strength of schedule. We could easily have lost the event. We probably would... I'm not sure if we would have done, but, you know, it was definitely going to be a 50-50 then, to us winning the whole event. And I somehow managed to keep my breakpoint. Like, say...
Hiding behind the lizardmen.
But yeah, I had... But, like, I had one stand of ogres left. I had... One cannon left, Galloper gun left. I had two dwarf stands. They're like, it's like they're just holding on. Like, you know, they're not dying.
Another favourite bit was where.
Go on.
We're supposed to be moving characters before shooting.
No, right.
Paul got trigger happy and shot with his cannons, and he did good work with the cannons. Yeah. But then he turned and said to me, "Who's ordering your cold one night?" So I said, "I don't know. I didn't get a chance to meet my characters. You've already shot."
So I had to. My general had to start ordering his cold one nights around, just because, like, well, I can't train. I'll have to do it then. Like,
he did well. Yeah. He did well. He put him in on a 7.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic game. Fantastic tournament.
Yeah. Got to say, we played 3 games, 6 opponents, all, like, really nice guys, like, pretty, especially the last game was played in a fantastic, like, you know, spirit.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And fist bump, Warman, of course.
Fist bump. Yeah.
Managed to win. So
Team Warmaster Podcast takes first. We've put our money where our mouth is and delivered. We have the trophy.
You dropped the trophy and broke it.
Well, it's a tiny trophy, like, and I did drop it and broke it. But never mind. Bit of glue, bit of Loctite there later, like, and it's sorted.
And it can live at your house.
Can live at my house, yeah, because I've got a little man cave to hide in.
Okay, so good. We went out for dinner. That was good. The event was good. Yeah. I highly recommend playing doubles.
Yeah, it was.
The system was good. The point scoring was good.
Though we didn't finish any of our games, it still worked fine. You know, and doubles is a really nice way to play. The point size was correct. I think if you did less points, it wouldn't be Warmaster it ultimately. If you did 1,000 points each, it just wouldn't feel like a game of Warmaster. So, yeah, it's top dollar, really. Like, double thumbs up to the event, and, yeah.
Did you miss not having a timed environment?
Well, it wouldn't work because it was doubles. If it was... I mean, I'm still a big advocate. I mean, and there was some discussion going back and forth about clocks and, you know, like, the debate whether they're, like, what should be the penalty if you run out of time, that kind of thing. But as far as I'm concerned, clocks fix far more than they break, yeah, than they don't work. And my events are going to be on the clock, and that is the way it's going to be. Yeah, that is my bag. Yeah. And between us and Saffron Walden, we're running 4 events a year. They are going to do a different event, one of their 2. So, like, doubles worked fine.
I don't think they're going to do doubles again.
I don't know.
I think they said it would have been very awkward if they didn't have an even number of pairs.
Yeah, it fell quite nicely. Yeah, yeah, definitely. So.
And Saffron Walden's nice if you ever get to spend any time.
Yeah, it's a privileged place. Definitely, like, that's how I describe it. Privilege. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, no minorities around here. I mean, like.
No.
So yeah, it's all good. It was it's not. It's tell you what is nice is that I painted, like, I put time aside to get this stuff done, and somebody did use unpainted stuff, so, like, it wasn't like I had to get it painted, but I put the F in, and, you know, it looked fine on the table, you know, like, and, like, only Jim's stuff was probably better painted, I would have said, like, out of the armies we played against. And even when I picked up some of his units and looked at them critically, they're like, you know, they're fine, but they're not amazing stuff. It, like, but at 10 mil, like, you don't have to be an amazing painter for it to look nice, really. I think you just have to have it finished and clean, and it, like, and the Warmaster stuff, like, just shows off really nicely. It's all good. It's all
top
good.
Dollar. Top so dollar. Next one we're gonna do, I don't know, we'll try and sort one out of it. Me playing ball again. He's got to do Dogs of War. That's going to be the army run.
Yeah, well,
so I put these to bed.
Exactly. I've played enough games of them now. I need to, and I'll probably run a different, like, you know, list of Dogs of War against Barry. I might skew it one way or another. Use a few tokens, but we'll see. I mean, and we need to record about the other core armies. We need to do a Skaven episode. We need to do an Araby episode, don't we? Because you enjoyed
demons.
Kislev demons. You enjoyed playing the Araby list, like, against us today.
Yeah,
it's
another one of those lists that I can't, for the life of me, imagine why you need 3 Araby lists when the main list seems so good.
Yeah, exactly.
What on earth are the other 2 lists doing?
There's no reason to have 3 Araby lists, though. One is fine, but we
enjoyed playing them.
Yeah, we never played against Araby before, and that was interesting to play against them. Definitely.
So my next 3 lists are going to be Araby, demons, and Kislev, and you're doing Bretonian, Skaven, and Dogs of War.
That's right. Yeah, that's kind of the rough format for our next 6 episodes.
Well, no, that's the next 6 army reviews.
Yeah, army reviews. Stuff, yeah, way, six, so. Six, six, six. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We've won, guys. Like, it makes us legit. Proof is where
we didn't get the wooden spoon. That's all I care.
Yeah, like, we got a draw and 2 wins. A draw, a big win, and a sort of
medium win.
Medium win. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, as you can hear from the music, we're in a curry house and we're having some dinner with Janice.
Yes, good evening, or morning, whatever time you're listening to this.
Well, he's going to discuss how the event went from an organisational point of view.
Yeah, let's Janice hear what he has to say. Go on, Janice.
Well, from an organisational perspective, it was an absolute triumph of logistics and planning.
It was a triumph for Warmaster Podcast.
Yeah. You guys were awesome.
Yes, the audience knows we've won this by now because we've told them about the third game.
Well, the Lizardmen won it.
But hang on.
Hang on a minute.
by wisely allowing the higher sorts to take the brunt of the combat.
Yeah, and die.
Yeah. And die.
Well, we'll go. Yeah, the audience.
I'll go through the score.
The audience already knows this because they've just listened to this. But anyway, carry on, Janice.
Yeah. So, obviously, the guys have already been talking about stuff, but yeah, this is the first time we'd run a doubles, and I been thinking about it for a few years, but we kind of lacked the sort of collective will to make it happen. But
it was good.
Yeah. But this year, it's like no, we can do this.
It's food now.
Yeah. Oh, we've got our takeouts. You'll be interested to hear.
What's that?
Our tablecloth is now being cleaned. And we had, we thought yes. We're going to run doubles.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what the takeout would be. It's because it's again it's an extra little layer of logistic complexity to make it work.
Yeah.
But actually having six teams of two, so 12 players. Yeah. Meant that it was a nice equal number. I sat out this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we'd had another pair turn up, then it would have been interesting because that would have been that kind of the critical number where I would have had to have stepped in and played by myself
with 3,000 points. Oh, that doesn't sound good for your opponent.
Yeah.
Are you going to play and lose?
Yeah. Well, and have to argue with yourself.
And using two lists.
And would I use two lists or would I use one list?
I'd make you use orcs and ogres or punish you.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because if I can use one list of 3,000 points, actually. Yeah. It's a massive advantage for me, and I'd end up winning the tournament, and that would just be wrong.
It fell very well. Yeah, yes. Like I think it's and what's good is that between these four events, so you're going to run two, I'm going to run two a year. If you do an event that is a little different, like from the norm, then that's great. Then we have three normal events, you know, like, or sort of standard, for want of a better word. And then you do something a bit different. I think it went really well.
Yeah, no, I'm really, really pleased with it.
Yeah. Well done.
And I was very impressed with you two.
Easy now, Tom.
But actually, no. You're
impressed with the Lizardman.
Yeah. I'm not commenting on that. But I will say that myself and Jim had done our early sort of seeding, as it were, informal seeding, and team podcasts, as it were. Highly seeded.
Well, I mean, we are playing games. Like, that helps. Like,
and we're losing lots of games.
Losing lots of games, but we are playing games. So we're like, I don't know how much the others play, but we went into that like well practiced in terms of just the game in general. So,
I'm interested in your thoughts about the scoring. For this particular
scoring was good. You could tell. Did Jim work on the score?
Yeah,
it was very.
Did you tell?
Yeah. It was good. There was a lot of thought went into it.
Yeah,
different set of scoring.
Yeah, I liked that. What mattered most was breaking one of the enemy's armies. Yeah, obviously two if you can, but
doing damage. Yeah,
yeah. So, but you're going to do that to break the army, aren't you? So I like that because in our second game. We saw an opportunity to break one of our opponents. It was actually Jim. And, you know, then we went for it, played it, got it, and got a big, you know, high score win. That was our score. Then in the last game, as we mentioned before earlier, it was like so close because I was within one unit of breaking. And if they had broken my Dogs of War, they would have ended up scoring points and probably winning the event. So that was
been very close. It would have probably been a draw.
But then you'd have gone to strength of schedule, etc. Yeah, so we don't know. You know, they could have won the event. I like the scoring system. I thought that's great. It encourages you as a doubles team to pick on an opponent to smash them. But that is that's a good idea. And then you can counter it by intermingling. your units. Like in our last game, we did intermingle, and they said to us, didn't they, like, you're the first people to intermingle your brigades. Yeah. And it's like, well, we're trying to hide, we're trying not to let you pick on one either of us.
Yeah. Yeah. But Baron, I know that's not, that wasn't your chosen strategy. Yours was to throw out the
mercs. Dogs of war, yeah, get killed. We don't care. Die, dogs of war. That's the way to go. So your next event's in November.
Yes, mm-hmm. November.
That's the singles.
Singles. And this is the original Saffron Walden Tri Wizard Tournament.
I'll be coming for that award for that one.
I'll be coming.
Yeah.
With something.
Yeah. No, I'll want that. Yeah.
So Steve Pritchett won it last year. Yeah, and yeah, he's got the newly minted plaque.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And he was in the final this year.
He was. Yeah.
He was playing the Dark Elves in the Quick and the Dead team.
He's good.
He was good.
Really good. Yeah. So he has no choice now but to come back in November because I gave
him. Did you make him play with a substandard army? Like only tier 3 for him?
Well, he's actually bringing a new army. We're talking about this. He may well be bringing dwarves.
Oh, right.
Dwarves.
Yeah.
Ooh, they're good. I've heard.
They're good. Yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah. Don't like high elves, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't like it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, but actually very much looking forward to July and the bunker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
defending your title.
Defending your title. Bringing
what are you going to use? Have you got any ideas?
Yes. So
not Nippon again.
Well, I've already won with those, so it wouldn't be right to win with them again. I am either going to be... It's going to be the same army, but now that I've acquired enough troops for White Wolf, I'm either going to have a White Wolf army, or I can use exactly the same figures and use Norse. We will see. One of those two.
So what's White Wolf?
White Wolf. So actually, this is
as a list.
As a list, yeah.
Is that in the 35, or is this another one?
This is a brand new list.
Hang on, this is not in the pack, Paul.
This is heresy.
List? Making this up?
I actually posted the my initial tryout of the list online, and what I've done, I'd found that someone who'd done a really, really good job of putting together a whole bunch of Warhammer unofficial army books, but based on obviously the canon.
Yeah,
canon. And I read through what he'd done, so I based my army list on the troops and so on he put together for Warhammer.
Okay,
I put it on the Specialist Arms for him.
I did see it on there.
Yeah, and invited comments. I found like one another guy in Europe had done. I think Italy had done a variant, and I've taken some comments, taken them away. So probably what I'll try and do is come with that list. I'll repost the list and see what people think. What I'm interested in is. With the Knights of the White Wolf is rather than keeping them just as knights is actually make turning more into like cold, giving them cold one stats to represent that kind of shock charge. I called a huge Warhammer in your face approach, but then that means that it's more expensive to buy as cavalry.
And what's the negative?
Well, you're effectively, I guess, the White Wolf army then becomes more chaos like. So it's an expensive, high quality troop.
Because people who normally get access to cold ones have something against it. Like Lizardmen can only order them 20, which is a real pain in the butt.
Yeah, yeah.
Dark Elves have the we kill our own guys if you order.
Yeah. But then White Wolves only have command 9 rather than 10. But also the other way of doing it is you just limit the amount you can have in 1,000.
So would it be like Lizardmen cold ones or like Dark Elves cold ones? Lizardmen cold ones or Dark Elf cold ones?
Well, I was just thinking you get the +1 in the first round of combat.
Oh, yeah, that's Dark Elves. That's Grail Knights, yeah.
So, well, Grail Knights.
Basically, are you saying that these White Wolves are of a similar ability of Grail Knights?
Yeah, so like,
if they are, then there's a very simple rule for
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I don't want to create all these new rule sets, because let's just take what's there and try and balance it by, as you're rightly saying, maybe to 2 per 1,000.
Yeah. Because I've said to Barry before that with the army list, because you asked me, like on the drive up here today, like what if you did Warmaster version 2, what would you do? And I said that I'd probably expand the army lists in terms of an Empire army has a few more options, but I would very cap a lot of the elite troops. Having min 0 like max 1 was very common. Like so you can have a unit of this in 1,000 points, and at 2,000 points you can have 2 units of it, that's it.
Yeah.
Because in with the
army lists as they are at the moment, like Dark Elves, for example, they have, you can get Witch Elves, but in the fluff there are a lot less numbers than Corsairs, which you can't represent. But you could have a Corsair unit to be alternative spearmen, but in the Dark Elf-like civilization, there's a lot more Reaver, Pirate, Corsairs, and there are a specialist cult to Witch Elves.
Yeah.
So it's strange that one's on the table and one isn't.
Not, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know how, okay, how different are they, but I would expand it, like, to have, like, classic is great swords in an Empire army. They might literally have the same stats as Marauders, but they are min-max one. You know, like, so max one, because they're just a little different.
Well, and actually what I was thinking with the Chichagan Guard, which were obviously a GW released model, was taking the winner of this Create a New Unit competition, which Fnatic magazine did, which was the Greatswords, and actually giving Chichagan Guard the Greatsword stats.
Yeah.
And therefore you're keeping it within the kind of what's already been kind of accepted as a...
Yeah, you know. Exactly. Because in one way you can look at Warmaster units to be, well, like, they're hundreds of guys strong. There would be some of these elite units in there, but they don't overall make much of a difference because they're very selected, very few. But that's how I would change Warmaster. If I was... to do another version, I'd have a few more choices. I'd have more choices than you could actually all fit into. You couldn't take one of everything in a 2,000-point list because you wouldn't have the points to do it.
I mean, that's quite what I quite like Nippon. which is actually, you've got genuinely a way of doing, you know, you can create a very specific type of army from it. And actually, again, I hark back to the Ancients Heresy, which is what Ancients does very well, is that you do have these elite units, but you can only have one or two of them.
Yeah.
But within the context of the game, they have use.
Yeah.
Whereas I think
within a
Warmaster Fantasy, one elite unit gets swallowed up by everything else that's going on in the game. Mm.
Yeah.
And makes them pointless.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I think we should tie it up there. So, just thank you.
Finish my Kingfisher now.
It was a good event. Thanks for running it.
See
you again in November.
We'll see you to defend your title.
I know, very excited.
Goodbye, all. So, if you want to get in touch with us, Facebook page, the warhammer.podcast@gmail.com, and we've also moved now.
Yeah.
Our hosting is now on.
Explain that, Barry.
So it proved really awkward to keep the hosting in two places. It just wasn't working, so I've had to cut off the... I can't remember the name of the other place we were at, but now we're at Podbean.
And we've signed up for a year. All our back episodes are there.
So the Pod Machine 1 or whatever it's called, that's completely gone now. So if your feed just doesn't update, that's because you need to go for the other feed. Search again in iTunes. Go on the Specialist Arms Forum or the Warmaster GW Facebook page or our Facebook page, and you'll see links for whatever you need.
So
come and find us again.
Once you've done that, we're not changing for at least another year.
We're not changing ever now.
I think we'll ever change, will we?
We'll be there forever.
We'll be there forever.
Okay. So thanks a lot. That was Warmaster Podcast episode 18 with Paul and Barry.
Yeah, the Triwizard Tournament.
Yeah. Good night. It's coming up. It's there.